Suburban Farm Yarns with Monica Main.
Indeed, it is that time of the week where we call up our Suburban Farm Yarn Specialist. Well, it's a field of one. There's just one. It's the one and only Monica Main, actor, activist, green-thumbed storyteller. Monica, you know I love you. How are you?
I'm great. Loving you right back, Danae.
Thank you so much. We're going to talk about the Great Australian Wave this morning, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And there's a skabillion of them. maybe one or two skabillion, less or more. There's approximately 30,000 species of fly in Australia.
30,000.
And only just over 6,000, 6,000 and a few hundred, have been described.
Wow.
So if you're thinking of becoming an entomologist, or you are an entomologist and you're at a loose end, there's a few flies out there you could describe, people.
You know, if I had been pushed to think about it, I would have thought, of course, there's more than one. But really, we just think of one bloody fly. There's always one in the room. The Great Australian Wave is as you wave your arms around to try and get rid of it. But you're saying that only 6,000 of them have been described?
Yeah, just over 6,000. Wow. I think about 6,400. Yeah, I know. Can you? Yeah. And what distinguishes a fly? What makes a fly a fly?
Wings?
Obviously, yeah, absolutely. And what is it about their wings, do you think?
I can see through them.
I can see clearly. Flies can be distinguished by the fact that they only have one pair of functioning wings.
Mm-hmm.
So when they, so one on either side, whereas, say, you might see a black beetle, they lift up their sort of shell and out come the two pairs
mm-hmm.
of wings, or like horrible brown cockroaches, they open up their backs and there's two pairs of wings come out. I mean, obviously, when you look at a cockroach, we don't have to be an entomologist to know the difference between a cockroach and a fly. They look quite different.
Mm-hmm.
So flies include midges and sandflies,
mm-hmm.
even mosquitoes, blowflies. And
sorry, wait, just one second. You're telling me...
Technically a fly, yeah. I know.
Wow. So, okay, we can hang up now. I've learnt my fun fact for the day. So a mosquito is a fly. There are 30,000 types of flies. They're all annoying. How do we stop them from ruining our picnics, Monica Main?
Well, you see, because they love warm weather, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a few flies laid eggs. So, yeah, there's a few stages. So you've got the fly will lay an egg, and then out of that will be the larvae. So that's the little, maggot.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll pupate. So it gets a little kind of a hard shell. You might find, when you're cleaning your house or whatever, in the corner of a room or under something, you'll find a little kind of brown, flat, sort of like a shell stuck to the ground or
mm-hmm.
surface. That's a little fly's where they've pupated. So that's where they create this little carapace over the larvae. And inside there, a fly is made, and then they hatch out. And so the interesting thing about a fly, when it hatches out of that when it enters its final stage, when it actually is a fly with flying wings, it's born the size it is. So if you see a little fly, it's not a baby fly. That's it. It's basically, it hatches. So a little fly is a little fly, and a blowfly hatches out, and it's a big, fat mother.
Mm-hmm.
And with that metallic blue-green kind of, they're very pretty. They've got that really jewel kind of look about them. Damn annoying,
mm-hmm.
but they are quite pretty. And, of course, I guess the two flies that we have the most are blowflies and house flies. There's bush flies. I mean, if you go camping out there in the bush, and bush flies, you'd regard them as quite clean in a way, because they're just out there in the bush. They're not sort of around disgusting rubbish. See, a house fly, they're what you might call a vector. I mean, a mozzie you could call a vector as well. So they can carry bacteria, E. coli, germs. You know, they spew up. There's a lot going on that's a bit manky town about a house fly. So they can spread disease and germs.
Monica? Do they do anything useful? Well, house flies, blow flies, vectors, E. coli. I'm not hearing anything like, they bring good weather or pollen or, What do they do? Why are they here?
Other insects can eat them, and birds eat them. So, I mean, and they do eat rubbish, you know. I mean, a blowfly likes laying its eggs in some in poo. You know, some dog poo or something out in the garden that's a bit manky town. but they do, you know, I mean, okay, maggots. What about where you've got someone who's where antibiotics don't work anymore? They still use maggots in hospitals so a necrotic wound, a wound that will not heal and is completely manky town. Maggots are bred hygiene because maggots are sterile.
You're kidding me now, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so you can, the maggots are specially bred and they put the maggots in a necrotic wound and the maggots will eat all that necrotic
dead.
The revolting, dying, pussy flesh. So, hey, that's a positive.
Okay.
Thing, something revolting. But birds, you know, like honey eaters don't just eat honey and pollen and nectar. They eat insects. So,
They're worth it for that.
They're part of the great big web of life, and you don't want to. I mean, if anything, the great tragedy is around the world. The insect population is going down. So you know, because some countries like America use too many herbicides and insecticides, so that's not great for the world. So you know, they do have a niche, and the interesting thing is too that blowflies and houseflies, they live quite a long time. Like, a blowfly can live sort of 2 to 4 weeks. A housefly can live a month. And they can, a female, after hatching out of the pupa stage, within 2 to 3 days, she can be fertile and go and lay some more eggs. So, you know, it's about trying to get rid of rubbish, cover your compost bin if you've got compost outside. You know, if you've got fruit fly in your garden, don't let the fruit drop on the ground, and then that can be full of the fruit fly maggots. You know, put them in boiling water to kill those maggots in there. So it's about breaking the cycle. If you spread, you know, great fabulous manure around your garden, water it in and cover it with mulch so that sort of it's less attractive to flies. But I tell you what, if you've got flies in your garden because you've spread lots of manure, you can make a fly trap. Fly traps are amazingly effective at catching flies.
What would you use?
Probably a prawn or a bit of dynamic lifter, a bit of chook poo in the bottom of a big glass jar. So a glass jar with a metal lid. And if you bang with a nail and a hammer, holes in where, but you bang from the outside of the lid. So the flange of the hole is going down into the jar. So when a fly goes into that hole, goes, oh, wow, that something smells stinky in that jar. Put a bit of water in there and you just get like a prawny, stinky, disgusting soup at the bottom of that jar. A nice big jar.
Yeah.
But the flies will just go there like crazy. That's like fly party town. And they'll go in the hole. So a large nail hole, a blowfly can go in, but because of those metal flanges going inside the lid, the fly can't get out again. Yeah. They get kind of pronged on that. And they all stay in there, and then it gets all stinkier and messier, and more flies get attracted, and more flies go in there, and it's just like a big death fly party, death town.
Moni, what do you do with that waste? Because I understand that. It sounds like making tadpole jars when I was a kid with the holes and everything, but when you've got a pile of dead flies in your manky jar, what do you do with that waste?
Well, you could dig a hole and bury it in the garden. That's just amazing compost. Or stick it in your compost bin. I don't know about putting a prawn in your compost bin because that could attract more flies. Because, you know, a dead prawn in water is really stinky. But, yeah, I'd just dig a hole and bury it in your garden and plant something on top of it. That is some amazing nitrogenous waste there.
Fertiliser.
Fertiliser. You betcha.
Natural stuff. So mosquitoes are flies. More disappointment about mosquitoes. The more I learn, the more I remain confused about how important their role in the web of life is. But I trust you, Monica Main, because you are our expert. You've told us about how to make prawn catchers, chook poo.
Fly traps.
How many different types of gazillion. What did you say? Scabillion flies. Does Australia have more flies than anywhere else in the world, Moni? Do you know?
I'd hazard a guess. But, you know, they love the warmth. They love heat. So, you know, they're going to be anywhere and everywhere. So another one is a horsefly. You know, they're great. Their maggots are really large. And if you see them in your compost, they've kind of got wrinkles on the back. They look like something out of a Doctor Who. They're about a centimetre and a half long. But they are really good at helping break down compost. So if you see those in your compost bin, in your, you know, the one you've got in your garden, don't despair. They're helping make more compost. They're not bad. They're clean. They're fine. So don't panic about those. And they don't turn into horses. Because I think they're big.
Is it March flies that bite and hurt?
Yeah, they've got a proboscis. They sting you. If you see a March fly, they've got this big kind of needle on their head, and that jabs you. Yeah. So, and that they really hurt, don't they?
They really do. And one last thing.
In the country.
Yeah. One last thing, Monica. If you are in a part of Western Australia that has sand flies, what's your natural remedy for those little buggers?
Well, yeah, the best thing to do is try and put protection on your body before you go, you know. I mean, you can get them sitting on the beach at Rottnest. It's like,
broom.
You've just got to put some propellant on or, you know, and then some soothing balm if you do get bitten, because you don't want to scratch those, because that scratch, that itch is an itch that never stops. You've got to calm that down. Don't scratch.
Take the heat out. Moni, next week it will be the last Suburban Farm Yarn, everything being everything and all going well, for you and me or Pam to chat. I'm not sure. We'll see how she's going. Homework is I would like to find out about your most favourite summer bloom.
Oh, okay. Because we're now in the season of Birak, aren't we? We've just started first day of December.
The first summer.
Yes, that's it. It's the first part of summer before it gets too cray-cray hot. Okay.
Yeah.
Bloom. Okay.
Yes. And thank you again for chatting with us.
No worries. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Danae.
Thanks, Moni. Monica Main, our Green Thumb storyteller, a Suburban Farm Yarn over for this week.